welcome to a very sad gathering for the Oddity Film Society podcast for November 27th, 2023. We are going to do a three-way movie review, triple feature
yeah.
Movie review. There's Sweeney Todd and Clue and The Gray. We'll get to those things. We'll do introductions. I am Anderson.
I'm Maddie.
I'm Sienna.
I'm Monet.
And I'm Noreen.
How has your weeks been? We have inconsistently been coming together for recordings. That's, I think, mostly on me. Sorry. Okay, so you've been good. Okay,
yep,
nice. How was Semi?
It was good.
It was good?
It was a good time. Okay. It was warm, but to be expected.
Did you cut some tile, lay some flooring?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what the kids call dancing.
Yeah?
Yeah? Okay.
Michelle really tore up the dance floor.
Did she?
She outshines everyone every
okay.
year.
I seen her caption on Instagram. She's like, I may be alive, but my back is not. And I was like, that's funny.
Okay, good, good.
Yeah.
Stressful?
Yeah.
Why are things
everything,
stressful?
Everything's been so bad this week for like past like 3 weeks. I don't know.
What can we do to improve?
I don't know. Everything's just so bad.
Okay.
If I know how to fix it, I would.
Okay. Is it school?
Yeah.
Okay. What if I could convince your English teacher to just give you like a 98% and you don't have to do any more work?
I'd take that.
Yeah? Would you stop showing up to class?
No, I'm still coming to class.
Okay. Okay. All right. I'll see what I can do.
Yeah.
What other classes you have? You got math?
Yeah, math. That's not great. And then I have challenge and change, and then I have the tutoring class.
Okay. I could talk to your tutoring teacher.
Mm.
Probably arrange something. You'd probably want to continue going to your math class, though.
Yeah. Love that class.
Mm.
My favorite class.
What?
Nothing.
Okay.
I think I don't know if I took it how it should have been taken or not.
I chose not to take it like that.
Okay, because I'm just thinking of the whole, you know, whiplash and the whole, like, the bald. Yeah, that's what I went. And that's what, and I thought, what he, the way he said it, I just thought, you know.
Have you guys been stressed? No? Okay.
Yeah?
Sorry. How's the movie...
It's good.
Oops, thing.
I wasn't able to go to the last one, but...
Okay.
It's pretty fun.
I think... How does the membership work there?
I basically can watch any movie I want for free any time. Like...
Okay.
I think the year, I'm not sure though.
Okay. But that's because you're on the committee.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I'm not sure how much it costs for like the other, but I think you can find online.
Yeah. Last time I looked, I don't think it was very expensive, but then you still had to pay for your tickets, but you got the tickets at a discount.
Mm-hmm.
At the St. Catharines Performing Arts Center, they have a movie program where you can see all sorts of like art house movies and old movies that they'll do a rescreening for. And then, like, neat things. Like, I think they did Birdman, and they had a live drummer doing the score for it. Cool things. Okay. All right. So, which movie should we talk about first? Sweeney Todd, Clue, The Gray.
Whenever we did the longest ago.
That would be Clue.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me pull up the Internet Movie Database. Okay. So, according to IMDb, clue is described as: six guests are anonymously invited to a strange mansion for dinner, but after their host is killed, they must cooperate with the staff to identify the murderer as the bodies pile up. Directed by Jonathan Lynn and starring Tim Curry and Eileen Brennan and Madeline Kahn and other people. What do you guys think of Clue?
I really liked it. It was a lot better than I thought it would be.
That's what I thought too. I was expecting it to be like a boring old person movie.
Yeah.
It is a boring old person movie.
But not really.
I don't think it's a boring old person movie. It's an old person movie.
I thought it was going to be worse though. It was like it was going to be very dry, not very funny, kind of just like, oh, yippee, people are trapped in the house. Whatever. Just no details and anything to draw you in, but it was actually fun to watch.
I enjoyed dark comedies. I really liked it.
Okay.
Miss White was my favorite character.
She's killer. I have a hard time picking. I think she does steal a lot of scenes. And probably, I think maybe her high point is when she's talking about Yvette, and she's like, the flames, healing breaths. That part was pretty good. Growing up, as a young boy, my favorite character was Yvette. That changed. I really like Miss Scarlet a lot. I think she's a lot of fun. And Wadsworth is pretty wicked, too. Favorite characters?
I forget who the characters are.
I really liked whoever. The guy, last name is Lloyd.
Christopher Lloyd?
Yes.
Professor Plum?
Yes, I loved him.
The pervy psychiatrist?
Yeah, I just like him because I like Christopher Lloyd. He's like a father figure to me, and I like it. So, yeah.
So there's Eileen Brennan. She was Mrs. Peacock. Madeline Kahn was Mrs. White. Tim Curry was Wadsworth. Christopher Lloyd was Mr. Plum, Professor Plum. Martin Mull was Colonel Mustard. Michael McKean was Mr. Green. Leslie Ann Warren was Miss Scarlet. Colleen Camp was Yvette. Lee Ving was Mr. Body. He's the worst part, I think, of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Body's I think he's an awful actor.
For real.
And
he's not even hot, so it's just like he has nothing going for him.
He had really cool shoes.
I don't remember his shoes. So.
They had like these white wingtips. They were pretty cool. Apparently, the casting of him was a bit of a joke because his real name is Lee, first name Lee, last name Ving. And so it was Mr. Body will be leaving soon. It's not a very good joke. He's a punk rock frontman for a band called Death, I think, maybe. Did you have a favorite character?
I'm not sure about favorite. I like Miss Scarlet. I thought she was silly. But I also like Yvette.
Noreen?
I don't know. I like the butler. He was very funny. I like Tim Curry as well. He's kind of like almost like a comfort actor for me. And so I was expecting him to be kind of like a rude, arrogant asshole butler because of the way he was at the beginning, but then he was kind of like funny and not really much of an asshole, I guess. I don't know. So it was like better character than I expected him to be.
Apparently it's his favorite movie that he's been in.
I feel like it would have been fun to film and stuff.
I think the whole movie looks like they're having a good time, especially towards the end when the pace like picks up and they're like running from room to room to room and it's all manic. It's pretty fun. Favorite character?
No, I think I found all of them kind of annoying in their own way.
Okay. So you didn't like it?
No, I did. It's just I couldn't say that I had a favorite character.
Okay. I really like Mr. Green too. He was another like favorite when I was growing up. I think it's the first time I remember somebody being a homosexual as being part of a movie when I saw it, which I was kind of intrigued, and I'm not sure I really understood, but I really liked him, and I felt bad that he got pushed around. And I never liked the line at the end that he's going to go home and sleep with his wife. I would much rather him go home and sleep with his husband.
Real.
What did you think? What did you think about the mystery aspect of it? Because it's pretty quirky. It's pretty funny. There are so many sight gags. Like Mrs. White when she takes off her coat and it's like white on the inside, but she's got this like full black dress on. And the I'm shouting. And then he gets the candlestick in the head. And
what was the question?
What did you think about the murder mystery element of it? Like the mystery part?
I never really had like suspicions of everyone. Because like, I don't know. I never really had anyone where I'm like, you're definitely like the killer or whatever. I was just kind of all over the place. Just trying to keep up.
I guess the ending. I don't know.
Which of the endings?
Like the one where they all did it.
Okay.
Because I kept thinking it's very... And they knew the butler was suspicious immediately because he was like the only character not in the original board game.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know he must be behind something. But the fact that they all have weapons is just a recipe for disaster. And plus when people just kept dying by like a variety of ways, it's... I got it, but...
If you go back and you watch it, you can... keep track of characters and who's in certain scenes, and you can figure out who's missing and who's not, which is kind of fun that, like, if you're paying attention, you could sort it out. And so you could see how, like, one or two characters are missing at certain times.
Yeah, I have white guy face blindness, so...
So all the guys look the same? Yeah. But they're all costumed differently.
Mm.
All in different colors. They're, the vehicles that they arrive in are the original colors of their... character in the board game, which is cool. And then they do little things where they try to bring in elements of the board game, like the floor is the same and the secret passages join the same rooms. I think the idea of having a movie based on a board game sounds awful, and it's amazing that I think they pulled it off as well as they did.
I was thinking that too. I'm not a board game fan, so.
Exactly. But I just think that if they tried doing that nowadays, it would not turn out very good, especially depending on the game now, because you have to be very careful about what game you choose, because only certain games work. Because if you tried doing, like, Monopoly or something, like, that's just not going to work. Or if, like, the game of life or something, or, like, just, like, that's not going to work. But, like, mystery games always do well, I guess.
I feel like if it was made, like, nowadays, it'd be, like, too, like, corny. Like, it has to be, like, done, like, well. And not, like, oh, this is a board game.
Especially, not only that, but, like, people would just throw in people who are hot, not people who can act good or anything like that. So it'd be, like, Timothée Chalamet and whatever else, just because they're hot.
What part would Timothée Chalamet be?
In Clue or just a board game in general?
In Clue. Or a board game.
I feel like he'd be the Mr. Monopoly guy.
Okay.
They cast them for him.
Okay. Isn't Mr. Monopoly like 80 with a monocle?
No, but then they make him hot.
Oh, okay.
The Monopoly guy was
rapping.
Hot.
Yeah.
Do you think he's hot?
I think he's not bad looking.
Yeah, okay.
He's a little rat-like. Like a good rat-like.
He's so thin.
I like that.
Okay.
I literally was talking about that last night because there's this new cologne ad and he's in it.
I see him all the time.
Just staring at the screen like he's going to fuck the camera up. Just like, I can't look at the TV while this commercial is on. It literally makes me so uncomfortable. I can't be in the same room because I just...
Do you leave?
Yes, I cringe. I can't do it. And so... I made a joke about him being, like, the American version of, like, the scrawny British boy, because he's all, like, pale and scrawny, and he's, like, almost emaciated-looking, like, British boys, but he's American, so, yeah.
Okay. What were your thoughts on the different endings?
I thought that was the same one. I liked it.
Yeah. When, so Nazma would point out how old I am and how when I saw this in the theater, it was 74 years ago. But they sent one version of the movie to one theater and a different movie got a different, or a different theater got a different version of it. And so if you wanted to see all of the endings, you'd have to like go to multiple theaters.
Interesting.
It is kind of interesting. Apparently it backfired and it was a big flop and people didn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that was kind of clever. And then you get, like, all the endings.
Yeah.
Nobody can tell, but we're nodding.
Yeah.
Pretty heavily at each other.
Nodding noises? Yep.
Did anybody have a favorite part?
I probably did, but I forget.
Okay. I think my favorite part is the singing telegram person getting shot.
I laughed at that.
Like, actually out loud? Yeah.
That's funny.
How many movies have you laughed out loud to?
Probably, like, more. It's just, like, social compliance.
Oh, okay.
I love when I'm, like, on my own.
Okay.
I feel, like, weird. Like, just, like, laughing. Like, it's weird.
Okay.
Strange.
Okay. I do think that's a great gag. It's so quick.
Yeah.
And she hits the ground like a bag of bricks.
Yeah, that's why I like. That's why I like it. The door opens and she's already done.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Favorite parts? Okay.
Yeah.
I really like a lot of the stuff with the cook too. The body kind of humor, like where they're dragging her and then they're like, oh, look, and then they drop her and she like face plants on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I dig all that stuff.
And when they're like making out the bodies to make it look like they're partying and the cop is there, and he's like, there's nothing wrong with people having a good time.
It's very liberal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. The house is all a set. With the exception of the ballroom, I believe. Everything else was built for it. I love the atrium that Mr. Body tries to get out, but the dogs are there. Okay, this has been a really good conversation. How would you score it?
I think I gave it 5 stars.
I gave it 5.
It is easily a 5 for me. I would watch this probably weekly, if I could.
Yeah.
5 stars.
Would you rather watch this movie every week
or
Big
Men? Trouble? Oh.
Every week.
Oh, Clue. 100%.
Okay.
Yeah. Why?
I just, you really like Men.
I do really like Men.
It up, just,
but I don't think that that's. It's not a watchable movie, and it would just make me feel gross all the time. I'd have a hard time picking between this and Big Trouble in Little China, though.
I've never seen that.
It's amazing. Okay, 5, 5, 5.
5.
Wow.
4.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Okay. And then not a lot of people were here for this because it was the day of the semi. And so Jeremy showed up, and because it was his birthday, he really wanted to watch Sweeney Todd. As much as I said, no, that movie is awful. So you weren't here?
I think I remember walking into the room and there was like nobody here.
Yeah. And then I was getting ready to go, and then Jeremy came in, and then we ended up watching it. Were you here?
No.
Have you seen it before?
No.
No? Have you seen it?
Like the first like 30 minutes. I don't remember like
okay.
any of it.
All right.
Something about bread. That could be completely wrong.
I think it's pies.
Okay, pies.
So still like a baking sort of thing. So we'll do a quick little one. Directed by Tim Burton, the Internet Movie Database describes it as the legendary tale of a barber who returns from wrongful imprisonment in 1840s London, bent on revenge for the rape and death of his wife, and resumes his trade while forming a sinister partnership with his fellow tenant, Mrs. Lovett.
Maybe I'm just dumb, because that is a very big possibility, but I didn't realize that's what happened to his wife. I thought she just got kidnapped, not the whole raping thing.
They imply that she was raped in front of a group of partygoers.
When?
Alan Rickman. They're at a party, and she's, like, sitting on, like, a cushion. And then Alan Rickman, like, swoops his cape over top of her, and then, like, everybody's laughing around.
Okay.
So they don't really show it. And then I think she's supposed to have committed suicide afterwards.
Fair enough. Okay.
that's what Mrs. Lovett tells Sweeney Todd because she wants Sweeney Todd to herself. But then it turns out that the wife is the homeless lady who's living on the streets.
Okay, yeah. I just didn't remember the whole raping part because I wasn't actually paying attention that much because I had no interest in actually watching this. I just wanted to watch it, I guess, to say that I did because, you know, pop culture, I guess.
And Tim Burton? You like Tim Burton?
I guess.
I think it's kind of sad because some of the cast I love. Helena Bonham Carter is great. Johnny Depp's fine. He looks good. I love Alan Rickman.
So do I.
I think he really chews up the scenery well in this. But I think it's a flop. And I hate musicals, so maybe that's part of it. Do you remember anything about it?
Pause.
Bread.
Yeah. Okay. You don't remember, like, the whole, there were some audios of it trending on TikTok, and the one was, like, the whole piss thing. You don't remember hearing about that?
I probably know if it's a TikTok audio.
Like, what is this? Smells like piss. Looks like piss. And then he, like, tastes it or whatever or something. It's like,
oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That's what I know about.
The whole, like, elixir thing or whatever it is that the guy's selling, and it's just pee and ink or something. I don't know.
I looked up some trivia, and so Sacha Baron Cohen, who plays the other barber, apparently for his audition, he sang the entirety of Fiddler on the Roof for his audition, which is, it's kind of commitment, like an hour long sort of audition. That's pretty cool. Usually, even if a Tim Burton movie's not going to be that great, usually it has some interesting visuals. I thought it was really drab. And because it's a musical, there's a lot of time where people are just singing and they're just being filmed, but nothing else is going on, and it's so boring.
That's what I remember. It was very gray. Like, at least in, like, Corpse Bride and, like, Nightmare Before Christmas and stuff, there's, like, pops of color, like,
yes.
Blue and, like, Corpse Bride, and, like, there's, like, red and stuff, and, like, Nightmare Before Christmas, but I remember it being very gray.
And I think that they could have added little pops of color. Like, mm-hmm. there was a scene where they're walking down the street and there's, like, you can see the barbershop, like, spinny thing. And, like, why couldn't that be, like, bright red and white against all the other things? The only thing that I recall being, some of the flashbacks are bright, but the blood is really bright. And I do like that. Like, the blood is super thick. And so red. It's kind of fun. But I wish there was more blood and more violence.
Okay,
probably not. I would not bother going back. But Jeremy loves it.
Mm.
So I give it one.
So did I. I said one is being generous. Do you want to hear what I wrote in my review?
Do I ever?
Yeah, okay. I said, I don't like Jamie Campbell Bauer at all. He just annoys me so much.
I've never seen him in anything else that I've...
He plays Vecna in Stranger Things.
I don't like him.
Mortal Instruments, City of Bones. He plays Jace, the blonde with the tattoos and like the... Yeah. I don't know what else he's been in. He's also a music artist, apparently, but whatever.
Oh, he looks like one.
That's funny. But yeah, I don't like him. He bothers me. There's something about him. I don't know. I'm not going to, like, go up to him on the street and say, like, I don't like you, mister, but I'm not going to go out of my way to, like, smile at him. Anyways, I said Helena Bonham Carter seems to have, like, similar airy, lightish music for every character she plays.
She's the best thing about the movie.
I know.
Absolutely the best.
Because when she plays Emily in Corpse Bride, like, her soundtrack, her like theme, like the music that plays when she's on screen and stuff like that, it's very light, it's kind of happy, you know. And then when she's on screen in this, even though she's kind of mentally ill, it's still like la la la, you know, it's like happy, you know, airy music, kind of like fairy music. I don't know, it's just, it's nice. And I just love that it's almost like that for every character she plays. And I said, I love Alan Rickman, but damn does he play mean pieces of work well. I said, yes, the kid doesn't have to wear that nasty wig anymore, because when he got to rip it off and he's not actually blonde and he's just brunette, he never has to wear the wig anymore. I'm so happy because there's probably lice in there. Anyways, then when the kid started singing to Mrs. Lovett's, like, nothing's gonna happen to you while I'm around, I kind of cringed a little bit, I'm not gonna lie, because it's like, that's kind of gross to me. But then the kid was, like, hitting those notes and was doing a really good job, so I wrote, bro, the kid has pipes. And then I said, I can't take that pet name, my pet, seriously. I'm so sorry, because Sweeney Todd kept calling thing, like, Mrs. Lovett, like, my pet and stuff. And I was like, please stop. I cringed. I died a little bit inside every time he said that. And then I said, the ending is poetic, lip bite, because he gets his throat slit, spoiler alert, while he's holding his wife or whatever. Because he finds out that it's his wife and the kid slits his throat. And I was like, oh, so poetic. Yep. Yeah. And then I also edited this a couple days later and I said, 1 star is generous. So, yeah. That's my live review for you. Thank you.
So Jamie Campbell Bauer was also in the Twilight series.
Yeah. Forgot about that. That's how memorable Twilight is for me.
Okay. I'm amazed that people seem to like Sweeney Todd as much as they do. It's sitting at 7.3 on IMDb, and on Rotten Tomatoes, it has an 86 on the Tomometer.
On Letterboxd, it has an average of 3.5.
I don't know why people like it so much.
I don't
know. Okay. And our third and final movie review is on The Gray. It is starring Liam Neeson, Dermot Mulroney, Frank Grillo, and some dogs. It's directed by Joe Carnahan, and it is described as, after their plane crashes in Alaska, 6 oil workers are led by a skilled huntsman to survival, but a pack of merciless wolves haunts their every step. This is our most recent movie, so maybe people will have things to say. What did you guys think of The Gray?
I really liked it. I thought it was a lot more sad than it should have been. Like, the first, like, the guy that died, like, on the plane, and, like, the guy's, like, talking him, like, through, like, when he's dying. Why was that so emotional? For no reason at all.
Like, and you liked that?
Yeah.
They did try, I think, to pull on your heartstrings as much as they could, and they kind of milked everything in the movie for whatever they could get out of it.
Like, that guy's death, and then the third last guy to, like, die, the annoying guy that was, like, wanted to just be left to, like, die. Mm-hmm. That was also...
I really liked the... when they were crossing from the cliff to the tree line, that death. And it's sort of like they sat down and they had this plan for a movie. And I think the movie premise is at best. People stranded, they can survive, wolves. It's whatever, but it's like, how can we make this as melodramatic as possible and throw as many... I don't know, little elements into it as we can. So, like, even when they're going from that cliff to the tree line, they've got the... So they tie all their stuff together. Guy runs and jumps, but then, like, the line that they tie together, it breaks. Mm-hmm. And the jerky guy runs forward, and he grabs it, and he catches, and he holds on, but then he's being dragged out over top. And then they have to grab his feet, and then it's like, okay, they got it. Everything's, and then, like, the ice breaks.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't think that most filmmakers would have put that much effort into attempting to just, like, dial everything up past 10.
And you don't even know if the guy that, like, jumped is, like, alive until later when he's like, I'm still here, guys.
Yeah. I think the music does a lot of heavy lifting in the movie too. Like, a lot of the score, really makes it feel more emotional than it needs to. And a lot of times I would hate that because I'd feel manipulated. But for whatever reason, how this one's put together, I feel like that's all right. Like, I kind of like that it's almost all at 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then it allows for some lulls, too. Like, the movie's not, it's not all octane, but it is often, like, really heavily, I don't know, emotional.
Yeah.
I did not like it.
Okay.
It was just basically wolf propaganda. Wolves do not act like that. I don't care what they say about going in the den. That's not... Even the whole alpha, beta, whatever, that's going to be false.
Mm-hmm.
What are these people talking about? He's a trained wolf hunter. I cannot take him seriously. I do not like overly emotional movies. I just thought it was unintentionally hilarious for me, a lot of the scenes.
Yeah.
And it definitely wasn't supposed to, but I did like the soundtrack and the scenery, but other than that, I wasn't big on it.
Okay. What do you think at the end? Like the last kind of... shot and confrontation, taking logic out of it, that it ends on a negative note.
Kind of saw it coming.
Okay.
I don't really see how it could end on a happy note after what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he did make it out, but
okay.
In my review, I wrote that he was Wolverine with glass and tape.
Okay, that's good. I do like that detail of like the. Like, he's taping those things to his hands, I think, so that he has to continue fighting until the end. I thought that was kind of fun. I love that you don't see the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if many people stayed for the little teaser or stinger at the end. There's a little shot of, see the wolf lying down, and then Liam Neeson's head kind of, like, resting on him, and the wolf's kind of breathing a little bit. And so... you're not really sure, I guess, if either one of them will live or not. And that's also an unnecessary thing.
Yeah.
Just to tuck that in as, like, and it's not very long. It's like maybe it's under 10 seconds. It's just like this little, like, sort of like glimpse of the aftermath of the fight, which I think thought is fun. But it is definitely, it is inaccurate. For survival, it is inaccurate for wolf behavior. It's a little bit like Jaws, I guess. And a lot of people were upset with Jaws when it came out because the poaching of sharks went through the roof after that. It vilified that animal. And this movie was not nearly as popular as Jaws, but it is not an accurate portrayal. I'm okay with that, though. Basically, it's like watching Aliens,
yeah.
Sort of, but on Earth in them.
I just did not really connect the emotionalness of the film at all, and the most stuff ended up being the exaggeration kind of translated to comedy for me, because they kept heavily exaggerating it, and even more so. And then it just got, like, even funnier, because which already was, like, pretty exaggerated, just got even more so. And
most of that stuff worked... okay for me. If it's not hitting you, I can see it as being like going too far in the opposite direction. The one part that I felt like that was when the guy fell out of the tree and then his daughter was there.
Mm.
I thought that was goofy.
And she was like putting his like her hair in his face.
Yeah, and he was coughing blood into her face and hair. Yeah. That part seemed
unnecessary.
Yeah. But that's pretty much the only part that felt like that. I really liked how they used that kind of, not necessarily like for that character, but for Liam Neeson going back to his wife and those elements, how he'd be like lying in bed with her, but his clothing would change depending on like where he was and what he was wearing at the time. And the part where they're under the blanket and he's like pulled away back to the crash, I thought was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And unusually artistic for a movie like this. But to go back to the logic thing, I think that any survivalist would tell them to stay at the airplane and not venture out. And I think some people have even suggested that that was a continuation of Liam Neeson's suicide kind of wish, where he's like going off into the wilderness hoping that he'll die. Which I'm not sure if that makes me like it more or less.
Because he's like dragging it around with him as well.
Which, yeah, and if he's not planning on surviving, he knows that maybe he just wants to fight.
Yeah.
As opposed to survive, maybe he knows that they won't survive, and then it's like all on him.
Or like bring them into like a more dangerous situation so he can feel like the hero when he like brings them into a bad situation and be like, I can help you guys.
Yeah.
Even though he caused the issue.
There are two tropes that I hate in this movie. We've got the guy who's just an a-hole, and that is his only character trait, and he will go against everything that is decent just to establish him as, like, a not-nice person. And then the counter is you get the hero who's good at everything and knows everything. And I would have liked it if they could have like spread that out a little bit more. I'm at least happy, I guess, that the kind of a-hole on the plane isn't the a-hole who survives.
Yeah.
Because like he could have been set up as like that character. He could have survived the plane crash, but these very broad stroked good guy, bad guy, I think is silly. Like, I'm not sure why some of the survival and some of the ideas couldn't have come from other characters and not just Liam Neeson, why they couldn't have antagonized each other instead of it being just one guy versus the rest. It's a fun point, I think, and this maybe goes to the alpha and then the other wolves, but I thought it was neat that at that campfire scene that we have this kind of competition between Liam Neeson and I forget the other guy's name, Diaz. They're having this conflict with each other, and at the same time we have the wolves having a conflict where it's like an alpha being tested in like both kind of camps with the people and the wolves. Noreen, what do you think?
I think a lot, I guess. Okay. Do we ever, like, did his wife, like, die? Did she have, like, cancer or something? Because, like, she was in the hospital, right?
Mm-hmm. Either she died or she's going to die.
Okay. Because I know that he's just extremely, like, sad and everything like that. And so when he was on the plane and, like, how he felt, especially when that one guy kept trying to talk to him. That's how I feel, or how I felt, I guess, when I was, like, really in a bad place mentally. And it's just, like, you don't like it when people talk to you. You kind of just want them to shut up and leave you alone. And you feel out of place everywhere, and you feel empty, and you don't want to be anymore. So I kind of felt him there, and it kind of made me a little bit sad because that's kind of, like, reminding me of that. And then I just feel bad because it's like, no one should have to deal with that because it's like really not a good thing to deal with, especially by yourself like that, because it's not like he had any other family, it feels like. Like, it was just him and his wife, I guess, and like there's no mom, there's no dad, because his dad died, I guess, and I guess his mom was, I don't know, out of the picture because we never get anything about her. And then there's nothing about the wife's parents either, and there's like nothing about any children, and I just feel like he's by himself going through all that. And so adding on to how he's feeling, that just makes it even worse. And then going on to the wolves, I said it's giving Skinwalker, because those do not look like wolves.
No,
they look bad.
Animatronics, yeah, not great.
Yeah, that's why I said, like, bad animatronics, fake. This is so bad. If you're going to make something, like, try to be, like, heart-wrenching, at least make the monster thing look actually real. I don't know. That's just a personal thing for me, I guess. And then I just, like, the whole thing with all of them fighting when they were, like, treacherous through the wilderness for me, I just felt like would that actually happen with all the fighting and everything like that? Because men think that they're the alphas and everything, and so when it's just a bunch of these alpha men together, they're going to try and fight to be, like, the top alpha of the group, and I just feel like that is so stupid. Like, you are in the middle of nowhere, and you're fighting to try and be the head of the group. Grow up. Read the room. Not the time for that.
I think no matter, like, okay, what the group of people is, I think that would happen. Like, I think even if it was, like, a group of, like, women or a mix of, like, men and women, I think there would be arguing within the group of, like, who thinks they have the better, not even necessarily, like, being the alpha of, like, or being, like, is this the right idea to go with and, like, actually, like, committing to, like, doing something.
And the stress of the situation would add to that, right? Like, the more stressful the situation you're in, the less reasonable you're going to be.
Yeah. And you want to do everything right because it's, like, your life is on the line.
Yeah.
So I just think that is, like, I don't know if that was, like, realistic or slightly exaggerated. I don't really know, but it kind of bothers me because they're kind of being emotional and all that stuff, which, fair enough. But then I went off on, like, a little bit of a feminist tangent, and I'm just like, so you guys are allowed to be emotional and just, like, have a fit, basically. But when women are like that, even just a little bit, you come after us and, like, you taunt us and you make fun of us for that. It's just, like, that's just weird to me.
It's men being manly.
Okay, and so there's that one dude. He's at the camp thing when they set up the one time. And he is the one that got the wolf jumped on him or whatever. And he kind of, like, falls into the fire, I guess. And, like, the wolf is, like, biting on him, but doesn't kill him. I don't know what his name is, what the character's name is, but he really just pissed me off because he was so, like, oh, macho man, I can do this without you guys. It's like, shut up. It's better to stay in a group, especially given your setting. You are in the middle of nowhere with nobody else, and you can't communicate to anyone outside to, like, hey, we're here and we need help because our plane crashed or anything, but you got to try and prove that you're so macho.
He's the lone wolf. He's a Sigma.
Yeah, get out. You could go be with the real wolves then. Get out. Because he bothers me. And so I'm like, when the wolf finally attacked him, I was like, yes! Because I'm like, is he going to die? I hope so. He really bothers me. But then he didn't die. He got saved. Some person saved him. And then I got sad because he got saved. But then after that, he kind of, like, smartened up a little bit. Which then goes back to, like, why does it take something that's, like, I don't know if, like, catastrophic is the right word, but, like, something so, like, life-threatening happening to men, especially, like, that has to happen before they change their ways and they change their thinking pattern. Like, that, it's weird to me. Anyways, I said men are depraved animals as well, because I just feel like the men, yeah, oh yeah, you like this? The men just, like, especially after they kill that one wolf and they're roasting it to eat it, and then he just cuts the hell out of it just because. Like, dude, it's already dead. Relax. And then at the end, when Liam Neeson's character is by himself and he's yelling at the sky to, like, for God or Jesus or whoever it might be up there, and he goes, should I say that?
You can beep yourself.
Okay, F word, faith, earn it. And he's, like, pissed off at, like, the sky, at, like, God or whatever. Because, like, you killed all these people and I wanted to die. And you're these wolves and blah, 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 blah. And all this crap is happening. And he's just, like, if you're real, prove it. Like, I just think that was a really good point as to why a lot of people aren't necessarily religious. Because it's just, like, a lot of the religious people, and I'm not saying, like, religious people are bad. I'm not attacking religious people, I promise. Like, believe what you want. I really don't care. I just think that that's partially why a lot of people don't believe in anything, though, is because prove it. Like, where's the proof in this? Like, something needs to happen, whether it's good or bad. Prove that it's real. And then I said I really do like the ending, and you said that we probably, a lot of people wouldn't, or, like, the majority of us wouldn't, so I went, I really do like the ending, Anderson, so you're correct.
Most people want closure.
Okay, well, I don't care about that. Okay. I thought it was a good ending. I thought, like, because you don't get to see anything, and you get to see, like, the close-up of Liam Neeson's face when he's, like, reciting the poem or whatnot, that his dad wrote, and then he, like, you see his eyebrows and his eyes kind of, like, rest, and they go into, like, a angry, like, fight face look, I guess. I don't know, but it's just his eyes that you see and his eyebrows. I really like that part because it just shows you the transition between emotions and how he's, like, ready for this, I guess. Yeah. And I just like the whole taping the bottles to his knuckles and then, like, smashing it on the ground, the rock. I don't remember what it is. And then he's just like that's going to do anything to a crazed wolf. But, okay. Yeah.
But he looked like Wolverine.
Not really. They were really tiny. Like, that's not going to do much damage.
Okay, well, maybe a young Wolverine.
He looks older than Wolverine.
Well... The religious thing, I get why it spoke to you. It felt kind of oddly inserted into the movie. I never got the sense that he was having some sort of crisis of faith
mm-hmm.
until that part. It just sort of came out of nowhere. Although I do like the line that comes afterwards when he says, F it, I'll do it myself. I like that. But I don't know, maybe they could have had like some sort of like religious element.
Yeah, like earlier. If there was like a religious character that like he was constantly going up against or something.
Yeah.
And then like in the end it's like, oh, maybe there is.
And not to say that somebody couldn't have that internal conflict and it would bubble to the surface like that. It just it felt a little out of place.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he was just hoping that like when or if his wife already died. Or when she dies, that there is a heaven so that when he offed himself, he would go and be with her. And so it's just like, you took my wife, so now you have to earn my respect because this is not fair. I don't know. I don't know.
I just don't think the movie delivers that.
I don't know. I thought it was nice. I liked it. So.
Was it a wolf that he saw when he was about to kill himself and then he didn't? Was it because there was a wolf there? Like, why didn't he end up shooting?
So, I don't
like,
know. I just remember him putting the.
So I think that was like the sound of a wolf or something. Okay. I'm not sure if there's like some symbolic meaning of like a wolf was what saved him, like in the beginning of like not killing himself, and then like if he did die in the end or if he didn't die, like it like saved him again. Something. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
No, I'd have to go back and look. Does anybody have a favorite kind of like action set piece?
I like when the guy was drowning.
I love that.
It's like, because he's pulling him up, like he's not going to pull up if his foot is like stuck. He pulled him back, like he probably would have helped him more than
I don't understand is why he didn't just, like he's trying to, like him
and the guy. Underwater and see where he's stuck, because he was like yelling at him, like for like not coming up to the surface. Like obviously he's stuck on something.
Well, not only that, but like the guy that's stuck, he's trying to pull himself up as well, but it's just like your foot didn't go in there like that. Like, you have to pull backwards, like back and out. Like.
But people don't think clearly in a situation like that. There's also a what looked like a pretty heavy current that was forcing itself on him.
I think the guy that's trying to pull him out should have drank all the water in the river.
Oh, he could have, yeah.
Just SpongeBob it.
Exactly.
The shot from the side is amazing because it's not just that he's drowning, but he's like 2 inches.
Below, yeah.
And that you see that the just that little bit of space is all he has to clear, right? Just like give him an inch, give him 2 inches, and he'd be able to breathe. But no. So good!
Short King of Lives Matter.
Any set pieces that were interesting, fun, like or hateable? The drowning?
I still feel it should be more common to actually like get his foot, because the first thing, I go camping a lot. Number one thing I know is that like if you're near a stream, be careful of rocks, because they could like take you down. And it's common for people to get stuck on them. So again, surprise, so I know one actually did anything about it.
Yeah.
And he didn't really look like he was even trying to like loosen his foot, the person that was drowning that much.
Mm. Okay.
Could have like taken off his boot too. That would have helped.
Yes, that does make sense.
Also, how did he freeze to death after he got out of the water?
That I don't know either. You would have figured he would have been rather chilly.
Because I thought he was going to die after that.
That's what I thought too, but then I was just thinking that, like, I don't know if it was... Did it start snowing shortly afterwards? Because it's... You might think that it's really cold when it snows, but it actually, if it's too cold, it won't snow. So I'm just thinking, like, because it isn't that cold, and maybe because of all that adrenaline, he's not cold then? I don't know.
I would imagine if he didn't do a wolf fight, he would have died anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, it was filmed on set in BC, and the temperature reached negative 40. And all of the blizzard scenes... None of that was movie magic. That was just, it was not nice weather. Which is kind of cool. That's commitment to the setting that the actors would have been there and wearing multiple layers. And that's kind of neat.
I have another thing to say. I don't know if this was shortly after the plane crashed or what, because I kind of don't understand the timeline of this movie very much because I'm a little bit silly. But the one guy, he gets up to go pee, and then the wolf gets him that way. But it's just like, how did that even happen? What did I miss? Because he gets up to pee, and then the wolf gets him. It's like, he did not walk that far away from the camp, though, as far as I know. And, like, nobody heard him screaming?
The guard.
Oh, I thought he was just, like...
Was he the one that was on the DS or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just thought, like, that doesn't make sense to me.
He just walked away from the opening.
When he was on the DS,
I was like, and then if that's the case...
Movie trope, though, right? Like, somebody gets up out of camp, and they walk into the forest a little bit, and Jason Voorhees machetes their face off.
And that's another thing, is if that's the, like, the plane remnants from the crash that they were, like, staying in to, like, protect themselves from, like, the weather and, like, all that stuff, and, like, the other animals and stuff, he didn't go that far away from the, like, where he was supposed to be, and the wolf got him anyway. So that makes me think that the wolves were getting ballsy, I guess, and they were just going to end up going into that plane area anyways, and would have, like, gotten them from there. So I don't know which would have been a smarter idea, is what they did when they left and, like, kept trucking their way, trying to find, like, an area to get help, or if they should have just stayed where they were, because it feels like either way...
Be, like, more metal for them to, like... block off the opening of the airplane, like
something to use, some other, like, the parts of the airplane use as weapons, but then it's just like when they are beating on the wolves, it's like the wolves don't even care. It's like nothing's happening to it, because, like, there's the one scene where one of the wolves is getting, like, slapped on with, I don't know if it's a piece of wood or something, but it, like, it's like not even blinking an eye. It does not care. It just keeps biting on the dude's leg or whatever. It's just like, okay, cool. Logic. Love it.
Well, I think it depends on what kind of logic you want to go by in the movie. Are you going by the internal logic of the movie that wolves operate like you see in the movie, or are you looking for, like, logic of how animals actually act?
Realism. I'm looking for realism, because I know if I get slapped like that with a piece of wood multiple times on the back, I'm going to pull away a little bit, because, ow, dude. But then the wolves just carry on. It's like, nope, okay, this is cool. This is regular Tuesday for me.
They're trying to make them seem scary. They're monsters. It's a movie.
Okay, but it just, it makes, it's foolish to me. I can't take it seriously. That part, anyway.
Okay.
Yep.
I came across some kind of fun trivia. One was Bradley Cooper almost got the Liam Neeson part.
I don't know who that is.
He is the voice for Rocket Raccoon. And he was in Silver Linings Playbook. And he was in Limitless. And...
I'll just look it up. Okay. I'll just look it up.
Apparently, in order to prepare for the role, Liam Neeson thought that it would be a good idea for him to start eating wolf jerky. That tickled me a little bit. I'm going to eat some wolves so I can get into the killing. I wonder if he does that when he's, like, making action movies where he kills humans. Does he eat human jerky?
I heard we taste like chicken, I think.
just people taste like chicken?
Yeah. I think different parts taste like different.
I feel like you're not supposed to eat the brains of humans because that will give you disease and you'll go crazy and die. Yeah.
Well, eating any part of a person can give you that disease. I think it depends on what people eat as well.
Yeah.
Vegetarians taste better, I'm told. I've heard. I read somewhere.
Sure. Reoccurring theme, you and cannibalism.
Are you sure?
Yeah. We've discussed this before.
Okay, I think maybe we should have a private conversation where you'll never be seen again. Okay. How would you rank the gray?
I originally gave it 4, but then thinking about it, again, I gave it another half star, so I gave it a 4.5, because even though it's a little bit silly, it was enjoyable for me, but I don't think I'll watch it again anytime soon.
I give it a 4. I think it's an excellent example of what can happen if the people that make something, they can elevate it from what it was originally. And I think that it was directed really well, moving it beyond what it could have been.
I also gave it a 4.5. I feel like it could be a 5-star when I rewatch it again.
Okay. Is it a movie that you would share with people?
Maybe. Depends on the person.
Comfort movie?
Maybe. I'd have to rewatch it instead.
Okay.
Right. You know, I get why people like this movie,
okay,
but emotional movies don't really have much effect on me, and
okay,
I just keep thinking of logic the whole time.
Have you seen a movie that made you cry?
Honestly, no.
Okay.
All my friends and all the people I know, I've seen all cry movies, but I've never. I don't know why, but they keep trying to find one, and it's not working.
You're just dead inside.
Well,
okay.
I'll give it a 1.
Oh my god! Okay.
I really love the scenery, though. I will give it that and the soundtrack, but I'm just not into it. But I can definitely understand why other people might like it.
Okay.
3. I think it did get just a little repetitive. Like, oh no, there's wolf, and another one of them dies. So.
They do try to add the human drama into it for some diversity, so it's not just all straight up survival. Yeah, I can see this being a movie that may bore some people. I think it's filmed well, but eventually it gets to a point where it's just like it's a bunch of like white snow and wilderness and maybe repetitive threats and things. Okay. What else have you guys been watching? I don't think that I've really watched anything. We started watching a show that is new on Disney called The Murder at the End of the World. And it's, so far it's kind of neat. It's sort of like a murder mystery TV show that's directed like an art house movie. I think maybe 5 minutes into the first episode, two of the characters are in a car and they just karaoke sing a song from start to finish. And I loved it. It's a complete waste of like 3.5 minutes, but...
What song was it?
It was... I'll try to figure it out.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't think that we've done much more than that and some Bob's Burgers. Oh, we finished Loki. Yeah. Okay.
I watched The Suspiria. And I thought it was really good.
A disappointing jump scare?
Disappointing. It was just like every other jump scare ever.
What was it? Because I watched it, but I forget what it is.
It was just like the nurse and like the guy like walks out at her like after she's like checking the room.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I thought it was good other than that.
It's No More I Love Yous by Annie Lennox.
I'm not sure if I know that song.
I'll play it for you.
Sing it?
Maybe.
Can you
No more I love yous. The language is leaving me in silence. No more I love yous.
Yeah, let's go. That's so good.
Can you shut that blind please, Lorraine? I'm getting blinded.
That's good.
Okay. Thank you. But yeah, so I watched The Exorcist 3, and then I watched The Belko Experiment.
Oh.
I thought it was pretty alright.
Yeah? It made a lot of people feel gross.
I can kind of see why. I didn't think it was, like gore-wise feel gross, or just,
no,
like,
I just think that you, like, these are just regular people that end up doing awful, gross things to each other. But yeah, it's not gory.
Yeah.
From what I remember.
The worst part for me was just, like,
when the guy gets the dented head.
No, I was fine with that. Was when like the boss was like lining them up and just like executing them. It wasn't even gory. It was just like uncomfortable.
It's a story where there are people that work at an office building.
Yeah.
And one day it just completely locks down, and they're given the message that they have to. One person can walk out. Is that?
No, it starts out with like you have to kill like. Oh, like 30 of them or something, and then the rest leave. But if they don't do it in time, then only one person can survive.
So imagine if the school locked down, and then you had to kill or be killed other people in the building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I thought it was all right. And then I watched the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reunion show. It was sad. It was good, too. I love the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. So.
When did that come out?
2020.
Okay.
I think it was right before the Will Smith slap.
Oh.
So it kind of redeemed him a little before the slap. It was like, oh, like he made up with Miss Vicky, and then it all went downhill from there. But yeah. So I like that.
Was the slap bad for his career?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. My mom, she used to love him. She'd watch the Men in Black. Every time it was on, if it was on all day, she'd watch it all day. And now she won't watch it anymore because of the slap. Like, she's very upset with that. But a lot of people are upset with him. But yeah. And I watched the Five Nights at Freddy's movie with Noreen and Ayla.
And?
I really liked it. It was a lot better than I thought it would be. And, yeah.
Better than... What's the Nicolas Cage one?
I thought it was a ripoff of Bully's Wonderland.
Okay.
Because he did start cleaning. They started cleaning up the shop at first. Like, not at first, but during the movie, they were cleaning up the place. And it's like, you're just ripping off Bully's Wonderland. They didn't even do it as good as him. So.
And Willy's Wonderland is better, all things considered?
I rated Five Nights at Freddy's higher, just like as a movie as a whole.
Okay.
But I love watching Nick Cage clean. I'm a sucker for it. Then I watched the Volcano Rescue of Wakari. It was a documentary you watched in Challenge and Change. It was very good. Give it 4 out of 5 stars. Solid documentary. That's it.
Okay.
I also rewatched Violent Night with my mom.
Okay.
So, so good. I love watching David Harbour beat up a bunch of people for 2 hours.
Yeah.
He's so fun.
I was in for the movie for the first little bit. I love the throwing up out of the sleigh.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the rest of it, I think, is pretty awful.
It's so good.
No.
When the brother-in-law was like, oh, like, all I'm saying was that if I was on the plane during 9/11, like, it wouldn't have happened. I love that. That was so silly.
Do you believe him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why did Santa allow 9/11 to happen? He could have stopped it.
Exactly. If China is like however many hours ahead, it's kind of mean of them not to let us know that it was going to happen.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's all I watched.
Okay. What have you guys been watching?
I've been watching anything like major lately.
Okay.
I did finish rewatching BoJack Horseman, which is nice.
How are you doing mentally?
Fine.
She has no emotions.
Mm, that's true.
Pretty good show. Got a lot of stuff on the rewatch, too.
I still haven't been...
Just really dry and kind of boring and kind of cringy, but then after that, I really liked it.
I think I'm just going to jump into the last season.
Without watching everything else?
Yep. Everybody says it ends so well.
Stay there for the build. I found watching it on a rewatch was much better. I thought the first time was a little difficult, but it's a lot better on a rewatch. It's so upsetting.
It's boring, and it's just watching somebody have a car crash of a life.
Exactly.
Repeatedly.
You've got to be in a not good mental space when you watch it. And then really just get...
But it's still...
You got to get all the way down. And then once you watch it, you get even lower. And then... Then you have to try to get happy again after. And then everything else seems better after. In, like, comparison.
I'm just going to watch the last episode.
Don't do that. Because you don't know, like, all
the... You're not the boss of me.
Don't do that.
I watched Ghostbusters Afterlife, which was... Okay. I forget what I did, but... And then it was just on TV, so I ended up watching like bits and pieces of Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. And I feel like I love that movie way more than I should. But just, yeah.
I thought that there was a lot of promise in that movie, and...
I was let down.
Yeah.
As a Butterfield with an American accent. I never would hear anything about.
Yeah, it's okay, I guess. What do you love so much about it?
I don't know. Maybe just like the whole world. And I always found like Descent really pretty. Just all the places.
For Ghostbusters, or have you seen all the Ghostbusters?
Yes.
Okay.
How many Ghostbusters are there?
One and two, and then there's the female Ghostbusters, and there's Afterlife, I think. Do you have a favorite? Do you have an order? No? Okay. Noreen.
I don't remember where I left off or what I said that I watched on the last podcast, because I feel like, depending on what I say, it's going to be a repeat, and I'm going to feel annoying. I think I did talk about Parenthood a little bit, because that sounds a bit familiar to me, because it's Steve Martin, and I said he's so fine, and when he plays dads, he always does amazing, because I remember talking about that. And then perhaps the whole, like, Muppets Take Manhattan part? I don't really know. So the next movie on my watch list is Five Nights at Freddy's. Like Maddie said, I went to the theater and saw it with her and Ayla. It looks so good. The animatronics make my inner child so happy because, they look really good. Like, I was expecting them to, like, look half-assed and, like, no effort into it because they're just animatronics. It's just a silly Five Nights at Freddy's movie. It doesn't matter. But they actually looked really real, and like the texture of them looked really good. Mm-hmm. And the cupcake is a menace. He but ate, and I said literally in brackets because, you know, if you've seen it, you'll know, because it eats people. Anyways, when the one girl gets bitten by the one animatronic, I don't know if it's like Golden Freddy or something like that, but it's in the back room, and it's the kid luring her in there, and then it bites her, spoiler alert, in half. I don't know if Maddie and Ayla heard me, but I go, was that the bite of 87? I literally said that in the theater. I have Foxy's my favorite, and another, like, I don't know if it's a piece of trivia or how well known it is, but I heard something, or I don't even know if it's true, but I think it is, but the main three, so Bonnie, Chica, and Freddy, were played by people. So there's people in those costumes. So if you take off the head and you look in there, there's someone in there. But Foxy is like an actual animatronic they built specifically for the movie. And I just love that. And it looks so good. It walks so good. And it's so fun. And I didn't realize that the Foxy noise song, like the doom, 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 doom thing, was like, it was Foxy saying it, not Freddy. I thought that was Freddy doing it for the longest time. I'm just a little bit dumb, so glad that got cleared up. I said Abby's a little bit annoying, but I don't know if that's her fault or not, because she's supposed to be, like, 8 years old, I think. But she looks like, the actress looks like she's 11. But then she acts like she's, like, 4. It's like she's age regressed, and I don't know if that's her fault or not, because given, like, the whole family trauma thing and, like, Mike babying her and stuff like that. So I don't blame her for that. It's just a little bit annoying. And then, because Mike gets injured or whatever by the animatronics, I said the whimpering Awooga. Yeah.
A review, 5 stars. For real. Hutcherson whimpering.
For real, okay. And then I said peepaw with, like, a heart. Matthew Lillard always eats and leaves no crumbs. He understood the assignment. Like, I don't know. In every single movie that I have seen that Matthew Lillard is in, he always does such a good job. Like, he understands who the character is. He, like, puts his whole, like, Matthew Lillard-y into the character. Like, I just love it so much, especially, like, in this one where he plays, like, kind of a shady dude. He does a really good job of that, especially, like, at the end. I loved it so much. And I went on to, like, a more personal thing, and I said, personally, I wanted more gore, but to keep it child-appropriate, it was a really good amount of gore. Because you don't really get to see that much, and like, there's not, like, a lot of blood splatter and all that stuff. There's, like, a little bit here and there, and there's, like, you see stuff, but it's, like, the shadow of stuff, so you don't actually get the full effect, I guess, of it. But I thought it was good regardless, because it just, I don't know. I wasn't really in it for the gore, other than I wanted the spring lock thing to be more gory than it was, because that was the part that I was kind of looking forward to, but even that was kind of good. I think given the fact that it touches my inner child doesn't help with this, but this is a comfort film, like, immediately for me. After I finished watching it, I was like, immediate comfort film. Like, this is, like, I will watch this when I am sad. I will watch this when I am happy. I love this movie so much. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you like my thorough, like, nonsensical reviews?
I think they make sense. They're a little random.
Yeah.
A little scattered.
Yeah.
But distinctly Noreen.
Thank you for that.
Okay. Was that it?
No, that was just for Five Nights at Freddy's.
Okay. Keep on going.
I watched part of a movie, but I forget the name of it. I started watching it with my mom, though, but then I left the room, and I don't remember what was happening with it, but I didn't log it, so, but yeah, that was everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Any news?
There's a Christmas movie. I don't know if it's already out or it's coming out or what, but it's called The Holdovers, and I've been seeing previews for it on TV, and it's kind of making me a little bit excited for it, because I've heard some of the reviews where it's like almost like it's like the feeling of watching a classic Christmas movie, so I'm just feeling like I really hope it is like a classic movie, because then I will be willing to watch it, and then I'll like it more. And I'm just kind of excited because there's the one guy in it. I don't know what his name is. Hold up. Let me just pull it up here real quick. But it's a curmudgeonly instructor at a New England prep school is forced to remain on campus during Christmas break to babysit the handful of students with nowhere to go. Eventually, he forms an unlikely bond with one of them, a damaged, brainy troublemaker, and with the school's head cook, who has just lost a son in Vietnam. And I believe the guy that I was talking about, not knowing his name, was this dude.
Giamatti?
Yeah. I've seen him in a few things, and I like his acting, so I'm kind of excited to see this.
He's pretty good. He can be kind of tender and nice, but then other performances, he can be creepy and detestable.
I feel like he's doing a good, like, father figure kind of thing in this one, and so I'm kind of excited.
Anything you want to talk about? What kind of movie should we watch next week?
Depends on the weather.
Depends on the weather.
It hasn't snowed yet, that's upsetting, right? It snowed like a little bit, not like a good snow.
What should we watch when it does snow? The Shining? I was thinking, what was the movie? Coherence, that low budget. Dinner party movie. I watched that. I've been feeling it lately. Or maybe some months. Any recommendations? Okay, good. Good. I hate Ayla.
Okay.
For not being here. Okay.
I hate her in general.
All right. It's good. Okay. I can let her know. Okay. Thank you for joining today. And we'll try to meet next week. Maybe 2 weeks in a row.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's the podcast curse.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Song about love. Dogs about love. Dogs about love. Song about love.